today on Real Radio.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, if you have any doubts, listen, that where I am, there you may be also. Come up here. I hope we hear it tonight.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1, continues in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was God's prophet in ancient Judah between 740 and 700 BC. Isaiah brought comfort and truth to the Jewish people, but he was God's voice of judgment when they refused to turn from their sins. The book of Isaiah also has the most quoted verses in the Bible when it comes to the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, and Isaiah's prophecies go far beyond into the future when Christ returns in the second coming. In Isaiah chapters 22 and 23, we learn how God takes national worship very seriously. When God's word is neglected and we rely on other nations for help, the power of the Holy Spirit is avoided and the sin of unbelief spreads. That's why God removes his protection from us when he really wants to restore and heal us. Now in Isaiah chapter 24, Isaiah is given a series of visions by God that go beyond Israel and Judah's judgment and into the coming of the last days. So today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there is a time coming to the world called the Great Tribulation Period. The people are going to suffer at the hands of the Antichrist because they refused to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation when they had the chance. And now continuing his lesson called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He was cast to earth, and his angels, the demonic powers, were cast out with him. There's a time coming, and Isaiah's talking about a time when the earth is going to be judged. Well, in concert with that time frame, you've got Lucifer, Satan, wreaking havoc in the earth. And we know this from the seven-year tribulation period of time. The second thing we see in verses 4 through 6 is that the great tribulation is for whom? Who's it for? Who's the recipe in this mix? And it says, and pay close attention to this, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled. Some of your translations use the word polluted, which is actually a very accurate word, polluted under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws. Number one, whoever the earth dwellers are, they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances. Here's an important one, the third one, third indictment. They broke the everlasting covenant. So what is that? Why would unbelievers care about an everlasting covenant? Listen to this. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Those of you who know your Bible, you're starting to remember something. Wait a minute. During the tribulation period, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a vast amount of people burned by the power of the sun. In fact, Revelation 16 is that passage. Revelation 16, verse 7 says, I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. This is amazing. Stop right there. John sees an angel, a spirit being, who has some form of basin, bowl, that in this invisible spirit realm, John's allowed to see this, as Isaiah is, he sees the angel pour out this bowl, this saucer, and it pours out onto the physical sun. Will the physical world see some sort of a flare or flash? I don't know, it doesn't say. But notice what happens. And this is, to me, amazing because the spiritual realm affects the physical realm. And we see proof of this right here, right now. In Revelation 16, look at verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. Instead of repenting, they blasphemed the name of God and his power over the plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. The great tribulation period, who's it for? Well, it's not only to bring Israel to the point of belief in God, but for the unbelieving world, the inhabitants of the world, it's for their judgment. They're going to be judged. There's going to be great judgment. Massive amounts of people, the Bible says, are going to be killed during that tribulation period. And power is going to be given to the sun. Devastation. The time is coming. Here's the good news. When it says here that it's going to be poured out, it's going to happen. It's going to be delivered upon the earth. It's going to be judgment poured out, that tribulation period. I want you to write these verses down. I want you to think about them if this sounds new to you. Number one, here's the good news. You say, Jack, you're scaring me. I don't want to be here for that. By the way, you know, when could this happen? Well, this we know right now at this moment. We know that what we're reading right now in the book of Revelation and in Isaiah, we know that it's technically at least 3.5 years away from tonight. It's probably further away than that. See, what do you mean? Well, if the Antichrist showed up today, the Bible tells us how he's going to show up. He's going to show up, the Bible says, and he's going to be with 10 guys, 10 rulers like himself, and he's going to dominate over 7 of them. There'll be the remaining group. He's going to wind up manipulating the remaining group, and those few guys are going to give him their power. The Bible says that this happens through his intrigue. And then the scripture says that he's going to bring forth, of all things, boy, I tell you, if you're a doubter, you need to hear this. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 9 that he's going to bring forth a peace treaty for the nation of Israel. And the contract that he brings forth, the Bible says, is for 7 years. It's just, don't worry, it's only for 7 years. So the world that hates Israel will say, okay, well, we can wait for 7 years. Israel's going to love it. They're going to sign on. And the Bible says that 3.5 years into that 7-year agreement, the Antichrist, this false political ruler, is going to break the deal with Israel. And the Bible says that from that midpoint on, you've got what is called the Great Tribulation. There's the 7-year tribulation period. And then the last 3.5 years is the pouring out of these plagues. It's massive. It's horrific. Who does it affect? The unbelieving world at that time. They are very spiritual people. The Bible tells us so. But they hate the God of heaven. They deny Jesus Christ. They hate the Jews. And they will kill all those who come to faith in Christ during that tribulation period. The Bible says, this is amazing, Revelation 13, you can read it later. The Bible says, and I'm quoting, paraphrasing, 2,000-year-old document. Who would have ever thunk that this would be in the headlines today? 2,000 years ago, the Bible said that when that time comes, that this false political deceiving leader called the Antichrist in the Bible, the mode of death for those who will not give allegiance to him will be beheading. 10 years ago, you would have said, that's insane. And yet the Bible says that's what's coming in the future for those tribulation saints. By the way, you're not a tribulation saint. You're in the church. You're the bride of Christ. It's a different group of people. David, King David, Noah, right? Even John the Baptist was an Old Testament saint. Did you know that? And then there's tribulation saints. They have to die for their faith. And then there's the church age saints or the bride of Christ. Now, there are people in the church, obviously, even today, that are dying for their faith in Jesus, but the church is called to live for Christ. And the church is called the bride of Christ. The Old Testament saints are not part of the bride of Christ, nor are the tribulation saints part of the bride of Christ. The church is from Pentecost to the good news that I'm going to tell you about right now. And that good news is from Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, to the day that the Holy Spirit sends the people back up. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Mark it down in your notes. Revelation 4, 1. John said, after these things I looked, and behold, a door. After what things? After the things, chapters 1, 2, and 3, about the church. Revelation 1, 2, and 3 is all about the church on earth throughout the ages. After these things, the Greek word is metatauta. After these things, change the chapter or change the scene on the play. The lights go dim, the curtain closes, the curtain opens, the lights come up. Something radical has happened. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Many scholars throughout 2,000 years, and I agree with them, view John as a type of the church for this big reason. John is a member of the church. John is an apostle in the church. John is the author of the book of Revelation. John is situated from that moment on in the book of Revelation, giving you an eyewitness report from where? From heaven. You are with John the entire time in the book of Revelation as he speaks. And the next time the church is seen after Revelation 4:1, the next time the church is referred to and seen and identified, she's already in heaven in Revelation chapter 19, getting ready to come back to earth. Question, how'd she ever get there? It's the rapture of the church. John 14, Jesus is the one who taught it. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, if you have any doubts, listen, that where I am, there you may be also. Come up here. I hope we hear it tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died in Jesus, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or die. It's a reference to the body. The body, when the Christian dies, the body looks like it's sleeping, not your spirit. Your spirit doesn't sleep. Those who sleep in Jesus, the body. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, isn't that amazing? Paul said, we who are alive and remain. He was hoping that the Lord would come back in his lifetime. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, come up here. I'm making that part up. I think he's going to say, come up here. It's what John heard. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. There's your trumpet again. And the dead, that is their bodies of the believers, the dead in Christ will rise first. This could happen anytime. This could happen tonight. There's no prerequisite for this prophecy to have to be fulfilled. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be, there's the word, raptured, caught up, taken up, lifted up, carried away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And remember John 14, thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The tribulation period, Isaiah is telling us about it. But as a Christian, you will not be in the tribulation period. It's to chastise and judge the unbelievers, and it's to refocus on the nation of Israel, their God. Vitally important. It's Jewish in context. And an unbelieving world must be punished during that seven-year tribulation period. All 7 years, mind you. Not just halfway toward the end. All 7 years is a time of great deception. Luke 21:36. This is awesome. Jesus said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. OK, Can I insert this? That Isaiah is talking about that will come to pass. Come up here and stand before the Son of Man. Look at that. Look at that verse carefully. Look what Jesus said. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. You have a problem with that? I don't have a problem with that. Why would you have a problem with that? I'd enjoy it if I were you. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through hardships and difficulty. We're talking about the tribulation period. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope. What is that? Come up here. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Who is he? Jesus Christ, right there. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. What is that? Come up here. After Revelation 4:1, and Revelation 5 shows you the glory of heaven and the worship of heaven, Revelation chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19 shows you the misery of God's wrath upon earth. Number 3, look at verses 7 to 13. Number 3, verses 7 to 13, the great tribulation, the need. And new wine, look, the new wine fails. In other words, life is going on, life is just cruising along, eat, drink, and be merry, and all of a sudden, something happens. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh. So it's sudden. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? The mirth of the tambourine ceases. The noise of the jubilant ends. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. In other words, you can't drink yourself out of these problems. This is going to be global. This is going to be rough. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. The city, desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus in the midst, the land among the people, here, listen, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. What is this? The wine press? When you tread out the wine, we just having been in Israel, we saw threshing floors and we saw wine presses. And some of the wine presses are with stones, and some of them, they're carved out. They're pretty big, actually. They're like as big as a mikvah or a baptism tub. And they would tread out, right, the grapes to make wine. And when all the wine goes out of the channel, then when you're done doing all the crushing, then you scoop up what's all that, the residual, the pieces of the grapes. And you would just cast it away. God is saying, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to tread out the winepress of the fierceness of my wrath against a godless world who hates righteousness, who hates the light, who hates me. And I'm coming to reward them for their destructions that they levied against the earth and against my people. Very serious, but listen, I tell you tonight, man, you say, man, this is scaring me. Listen, this should not scare you if you're a believer. Yeah. It's like, what? You know what? Why are we even studying this tonight? Because I want to know what we're going to miss. Matthew 24. In fact, what's interesting, we're in Isaiah 24. Matthew 24 and Isaiah 24. They are commentaries on one another. Now, as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? He just told them that the end is coming to the nation of Israel. They're going to be dispersed throughout all the nations of the world. So they said, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age or the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. All normal. Jesus is saying, this is all normal. See that you're not troubled. This stuff happens. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation. It's ethnos against ethnos. Ethnic groups will war against ethnic groups, and political kingdoms will war against political kingdoms. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places, increasingly so. All these are the beginning of birth pains, sorrows. The word in Greek is birth pains. Isn't that interesting? The earth is like pregnant with judgment. Then they will deliver you up, verse 9, to tribulation, not the great tribulation, but to tribulations. It's not the same word, but kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness abounding, the love of many will grow cold. He keeps going. Look at verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Jesus said. Wow, this changes everything. Jesus is saying, Daniel prophesied about the future when this political ruler is going to come, this bad guy, he's going to have the 7-year deal. Every Jew knew what Jesus meant. They knew this. What you're hearing tonight, they knew it back in his day. When you see what was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that means there's got to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem for the tribulation period to have its full effect. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea, notice, Judea, flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop, none of us live in our housetops. They still live on their housetops in Israel. Not go down to take anything out of the house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Why? Because you can't run fast if you're pregnant, and I don't know how good you can run when you're nursing. He's telling us about a catastrophe. He's telling us about the next Holocaust. And pray that your flight or escape is not in the winter or on the Sabbath. You try to leave Judea when it snows, good luck. First of all, the ground is like ice, even on a sunny day. It's so slick. The rocks are so smooth and so slippery. And Jesus is saying, man, when this time comes, you better hope it's not a bad weather day or a snowy day, because you'll never get out of the city. You'll never make it in your running. You'll never make it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1. You know, we say it all the time, thanking you for joining us today, but we really do mean it. And our hope is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener, or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can, because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk. And you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. Our desire here at Real Radio is to give you the support you need to carry on your journey of faith with Christ. And there are some great ways that you can support us as well. You can like Pastor Jack's page on Facebook and be sure to tell your friends about it. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and follow him on Instagram. So for more ways to support this ministry, check out Pastor Jack on social media. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.